Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is God's Word. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We said before that throughout this letter, Peter keeps reminding them that he is writing in order to remind them. He says it over and over again because he wants them to know when they're thinking, well, I know this. Well, yes, I know that. That he knows they know that. But he wants them to remember what they know. Everybody needs to to remember certain things. And if you're not careful, they'll begin to fall off the radar. You begin to lose sight of them. So Peter is writing and he's telling these folks, this is from the heart. He is passionate about getting these things permanently, indelibly in the minds of his listeners. And he says, this is now my second letter to you, and I've written both of them as reminders in order to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. In other words, so that you'll be thinking about the right stuff. How many of you sometimes find yourself thinking about things you really shouldn't be thinking about? Yeah, okay. This is a problem. And so how do you do that? Well, if you just try not to think about the bad stuff, it doesn't work. If you try really hard not to think about certain stuff, you're going to be thinking about little else. What is the solution? What's the antidote? It's not to try not to think about bad stuff. It's to think about good stuff. He says, I'm writing these things to remind you of key truths in order to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. If you're thinking about the right stuff, you're not going to be so tempted to think about the wrong stuff. Amen? Sort of like the difference between going into a dark room and trying to push all the darkness out and turning on the light. Okay? When you turn on the light, the darkness vanishes, doesn't it? And so, if you want to think not of the bad stuff, try thinking of the good stuff. To stimulate you to wholesome thinking, Peter is writing these things to remind you of what is true.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us, that we'll remain faithful, and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. Where do you find wholesome thinking? Where is it grounded? It's grounded in what God has said. It's grounded in His promises. God has given us marvelous promises through which we become partakers of the divine nature. That's what God says. That's absolutely amazing. What an astounding thing. Partakers of the divine nature through the promises of God. Wow. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. You know what scoffers do? It says right here. They scoff. In the last days, scoffers will come scoffing. Well, surprise, surprise. And following their own evil desires. Well, what does it mean to scoff? It's not exactly the same as mock, but it is related. To scoff at something means you laugh at it in derision. You say, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. That's stupid. And there are a lot of people who will hear what you believe and they'll laugh at you. And they'll mock you and scoff. They'll say, that's stupid. You can't possibly believe that. You really believe that? Don't be insane. What are they scoffing about? Well, for one thing, the idea that Jesus is coming again. Hey, here's a newsflash. Jesus is coming again. Okay? How do I know that? Well, because he promised. And he always does what he promises. Always. So there will be scoffers who will come and they will make fun. They will scoff. Why? Following their own evil desires. You see, if it's true that Jesus is coming again, then I kind of need to behave. These folks are following their own evil desires, and therefore they are motivated to disbelief, to say, no, that's not so. I don't buy it. They'll say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. In other words, from generation to generation, nothing changes. Verse 5, please notice this. But they deliberately forget. They deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. He says, let me tell you what they're leaving out when they say everything has stayed the same since the beginning of creation. They're forgetting who the Creator is. They're forgetting how he created things out of water and by water. Interesting, he says, this world created out of water and by water, that world was then destroyed by water. God sent a flood as judgment on the people of ancient times. They're forgetting that. Things haven't continued as they have from the beginning. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people today who don't believe in the flood. Certainly don't believe in a universal flood. Maybe there was a local flood over there that seemed universal to the people. Why is it so problematic to have a universal flood? Well, scientifically, I just... Okay, well, let's introduce another piece of the equation. Let's suppose there is an almighty God who created all things, who decided he wanted to flood the whole place. Do you think he could pull it off? I mean, where did the universe come from? Do you think it's eternal? Do you worship matter? Do you think it's always been? If there's a start point, did something come from nothing with no causative agent? Is that really a scientific view? That is insanity. Nobody in science would believe that about anything else, but they're willing to believe it about everything. It's nuts. How could they hold such an unscientific position? Because they're deliberately forgetting something. They are deliberately forgetting what is obviously true. That God is the creator, and that God is the judge, and that he's already demonstrated what that looks like by sending a flood. And Peter says, let me tell you something else. Just as God destroyed the earth in ages past by sending a flood of water, so now the present heavens and earth are reserved for destruction by fire. Verse 7, by the same word, the word of God, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. God has laid a fire here, and people are going to burn. But don't forget this one thing. Here he is again, reminding. Don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The reason the Lord has not already done this is because if he had, a whole lot of people who are now on their way to heaven would have been destroyed. That's what it says. So it is God's kindness that causes him to wait. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In other words, when people are not expecting it, when people are saying, well, I guess nothing really going to change, boom! Let me tell you something. God's word tells us that his judgment is coming, and when it comes, it's going to catch people by surprise. Most people are going to be unprepared when it happens. But you're not supposed to be. What should our attitude be? Oh no, what if it's today? Well, if that's the way you feel, you need to repent and get saved. Okay? Cry out to Jesus. Ask him to save you. He'll do it. Look at verse 11 and following. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Looking forward to it. Eager for it. Speeding its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promises, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Have you ever seen Extreme Makeover? You know, what do they do in those shows? They always bulldoze the house. And, I mean, part of me always goes, ooh, wasn't there something they could salvage? They don't have time. And so they go in and they just totally demolish the whole thing, and then they build this fabulous new house. Nobody ever comes back and sees the new house and says, hey, where's our old house? Nobody does that. Nobody ever does that. The reason that you and I are looking forward to this is not because we just love to see things burn up. Ooh, cool. The whole planet going up. Wow, that'll be fun. No, it's because there's something so much better coming. God has promised a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Imagine a place with no temptation, no sin. How many of you have desires for things you wish you didn't desire? Yeah. It's, oh God, please change me. Yeah, well that's good. I'm glad you're praying that way. Because you know what? He will. He will. He's not just going to destroy the heavens and the earth as we know it now. He is going to create a new world in which righteousness dwells, and you and I will be like him. That's fantastic, fabulous, wonderful. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, verse 14, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. That's what you ought to be focused on. What are you trying to do with your life? You ought to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. There is only one way to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with him, and that's in Christ Jesus. That's it. If you're trying to establish it some other way, read the book of Galatians and understand your efforts are not only futile, they are harmful. The way to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him is to be trusting completely in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's where real righteousness is. So does that mean that we shouldn't even, you know, seek to like break bad habits and that kind of thing? What it means is you need to run to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't want to be the way I've been. I want you to change me. Please cleanse me. Don't just forgive me, Lord. Change me. Change me from the inside out. You know what he'll do? He'll answer that prayer. And you will find yourself not sinless, but sinning less and less and less. Got it? Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote you with the wisdom God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Stop for a moment and consider that. Peter said some of Paul's letters contain things that are hard to understand. If he had a hard time understanding them, it's okay if we do. Okay? Sometimes we read stuff and it's like, oh, well, wow, that's clear. And other times we read stuff and it's like, I'm not sure exactly what that means. That's okay. That's okay. I've had stuff I didn't understand for 20 years, and all of a sudden it's like, oh. So Peter not only says some of Paul's stuff is hard to understand, but then he says something else that we need to understand. And that is, there are people who twist those things Paul has said as they do the other scriptures. What has he just said? He has said that the writings of Paul are scripture. What has he told us earlier about Scripture? Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. He has just helped us to understand that the New Testament, including Paul's epistles, is part of this holy, infallible, perfect Word of God. And you and I need to know that. And when somebody tries to say, well, you know, I'm a red letter Christian. You know, I just go by the stuff that's in red, because that's the stuff Jesus said. And all that other stuff, you know, the apostles, they're just sharing their own thing. You don't know Jesus. Because if you did know Jesus, you'd recognize his voice, whether it's coming through James or through Jude or through John or through Paul or through Peter or even through Luke. You'd know that's the voice of God. That is the Word of God. I recognize my Father's voice. You need to study the Scriptures so that you know the Lord's voice. So that when those other thoughts and proposals come along, you recognize that is not consistent with the way God speaks. That is not consistent with what God has already said. I will not fall for that lie. So, there are ignorant and unstable people who distort what Paul has said as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. The consequence of what they're doing is destruction. Therefore, dear friends, verse 17, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. One of my favorite phrases in the New Testament. Is our salvation secure? Yes. Your position is secure. Now be careful that you don't fall. I thought you just said it was secure. Your position is. But folks, if you're really saved, what are you going to do? You're going to persevere. Amen. If you don't persevere, if you turn, if you say, well, I'm saved, so I can do anything I want. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, so I can go out here and just, you know, fornicate and be involved in stealing and all that stuff. I can lie anytime I feel like it, and it's okay, because I went forward in a meeting when I was 14. Well, let me tell you something, you're not saved. And Peter here, speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I don't want you to fall from your secure position. If you're in Christ Jesus, your position is secure, but I want you to stay in Christ. Well, what if a person departs? Well, of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Jesus said, as we quoted last time from Matthew chapter 7, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not a Christian who lost their salvation. It's a person who was hanging out with Christians, acting like Christian, talking like Christian, but not Christian. Is that clear? So, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. When you and I reflect the glory of God, it's not our glory. It's the glory of God. Is that clear? And so God invites us to life in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, that's not a, okay, well, I guess I'll have to act like a Christian then. When we're called to live in Christ, God's not taking good stuff away from us. He's taking away the stuff that wounds us, that wrecks us, and that trips us up so that we wound and wreck others. And he's giving us eternal life. Life. Abundant life. He is kind. He is merciful. He loves you so much that he went to the cross for you. And now he invites you to experience his life. Don't miss out.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.